Follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Well, hello. I'm a little tired tonight, Bob. Would it be okay if I let a bot handle all my replies?
What's a bot?
You know, one of those automated computer programs that does things for you?
Sure.
Don't worry, I've programmed it to generally disagree, except when you pay me a compliment. Should be impossible to tell the difference.
Okay, whatever you say.
Yes, Bob. Oh, anyway, I actually had a reply to a question contest on VP Free this week. So I think it'd be a good idea to announce the winner.
Okay.
First off, where this question actually came from is I cheat on you every now and then. I do interviews on other radio shows.
Okay, good.
And the question was given to the host of that show and then passed on to me by email. So I don't believe this person is actually on VP Free or necessarily a listener of this show, but I still got the question. And it was from Anonymous. I think one of the biggest advantages we have over casinos is the ability to walk out when we are losing. If you don't leave when you are losing, how can you expect to come out ahead? I think you should only stay in a casino when you are winning. Now, there was other... I've truncated a little bit there, so that was the question.
All right.
And our winner for best reply, or first reply, and one of the better ones, was Albert Pearson. So he's a VP Free poster, and congrats to Albert. He was not able to use the Bob Marley tickets, which we were giving away, but he still won the contest. He had a very long reply, so I'm just going to paraphrase it quickly. So now, one could leave a casino after losing a dollar or winning a dollar. How do you decide when you have won or lost enough? He went on to say, long-term, there are two types of casino players. Long-term player does not worry about transient results. And then he elaborated on that. He said, the short-term or casual player looks to gambling merely as another form of entertainment and does not spend as much time in a casino. And he goes on to explain that. So it comes down to what type of player you are. The hosts of this radio program come in the first category, and they sometimes have difficulty understanding those in the second. But if you want to read the whole reply, it is on VP Free under the title of Question to Contest, or Reply to Question Contest. Also, honorable mention to Christine Hood, and an honorable mention to Barry Glazer.
Good. And generally speaking, your results over the last half hour have zero to do with your expectation over the next.
Yeah, that was actually in Barry's post. He said, part of the problem lies in how we define I'm losing and I'm winning. It is where you are relative to when you started playing, or relative to a few minutes ago, or relative to a half hour ago, or what. A lot of people get ahead at the game and then lose some, but not all, of their profit, and now say they are losing. So he's talking about it's all relative. I actually kind of think of my results from the day I first started.
Yeah, I think it's more important about what your score is when you went to bed last night, rather than what your score is compared to when you started today. So if you have a guy who has a bankroll of $80,000 last night but lost $300 today, or you had a guy who had a bankroll of $10,000 last night but won $300 today, I would think the guy who lost $300 was in better position.
Indeed, yeah. You know what I find most interesting about this is that people perceive winning and losing as something that's happening to them in the present. And sort of by definition, any results that you've had are in the past. But yet you hear people say, I'm winning or I'm losing, or if they ask you a question, how, you know, are you winning today? Well, it's not even correct grammatically. You would really should phrase it as, have you been winning today, or are you losing today? It's always in the past.
Well, I don't think so. I think you can be in the process, and if you're assuming the streak is going to go on forever, then you can be in a winning mood today. You have won since the start of the day, and you're continuing winning. So I think it makes some grammatical sense to say you're winning today.
I would say I have been winning today.
Good. I'm glad you've been winning today. I'm happy for you.
See the bots automatically disagreeing. It works perfectly.
All right. So we have in 5 minutes, we're going to hear from Greg Brown, who's from Action Gaming. Mm. And in 10 minutes, we're going to hear from Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds.
Mm.
So I need to get a couple commercials done before we do that.
Okay.
South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody anywhere else in the world. In May, they're giving a car away every day. Earn drawing tickets up to a maximum of 250 a day, plus the 5 you get for swiping. Drawings are at 8:20 at night, and you have 24 hours to claim your car. This is especially a good promotion for low rollers because nobody can earn more tickets than $1,250 worth. And so, and it's also good for people who play there all the time because your tickets keep adding up. If you didn't win yesterday, then your tickets from yesterday are still there. This is the 19th. So there's 19 days worth of tickets in there. So those of us who haven't won, my hand would have to be up for that. I haven't won one of the car yet. Don't understand it. I have 19 days worth of 255 tickets.
I haven't won a car yet, but I understand it.
Good. All right. There were Monday, Memorial Day, the 30th of May, is going to be a double point day. For video poker players, if you get off on playing slots, that'll be 5 times points a day for slots. Another one of our sponsors is the Palms. They're having drawings this Friday and Saturday night, and they're called Slot Man Swap Drawings. The way it works is that the top 3 winners in the drawing get to play an interactive game. There'll be 4 people dressed up as slot machines. And they each have an envelope, and you pick, and one envelope has a 1 in it, one has a 2 in it, one has a 3 in it, one has a 4 in it. You put them in order, and then you open up the envelopes and read it like a number. So the best you can win is $4,321. The worst you can win is $1,234. And there are 10 prizes Friday and Saturday nights. Your tickets are based on your week's worth of play. They now have a slot emporium, which is in the room right. It used to be the overflow poker room, which just before the World Series of Poker seems like a strange time to take away that room, but because the Rio's sort of just like right across the street. But that's what they did. These machines, if you play them and you hit on this video poker machine, you hit a royal flush, you get what's in a picture on top. So it can be an Xbox 360. It can be a Coach handbag. $200 is the biggest cash award. And the best game, quarters, is 9-6-double-double. Not the best game in the house, but there are people who play 9-6-double-double. So if you're going to play 9-6-double-double, you might as well play it in a place where you're going to get an extra $200 if you get a royal. So that's the Slot Emporium. All right, we're going to squeeze one more commercial in before we get to Greg Brown. And that is on the Silverton. Every Friday in May, the Silverton is holding a 7 p.m. drawing where 10 winners receive a total of $10,000 in cash or free play. Tickets are earned by playing your favorite machines. You need to be there to win. The tickets are good for 1 week only, except all tickets you earned a whole month long are good for the final drawing on May 27th, which will be the second drawing on May 27th. And on that, you're giving away a Mercedes car or actually $37,500 towards a Mercedes car. So you can get one of those C-class cars, I guess, for that. Or $30,000 in cash. and there'll be four additional winners. They have daily prizes you can get for playing either 500 or 1,000 points. You keep the points depending on which day it is. That's the Silverton. We have one of our sponsors is Action Gaming. They're the people who have created, they paid for my software, Video Poker for Winners. They created the Triple Play family game, and they host a website called videopoker.com. Now, the spokesman for videopoker.com is Greg Brown. He visits us once a month, and we spend some time with him. So, Greg Brown, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you, Frank?
I'm up to senior member now on your forum.
Good. Keep going. You can keep moving up.
His life ambition. So tell us, Greg, what's new at videopoker.com?
Well, probably the most exciting thing is we have a contest starting tomorrow with a brand new game that is normally reserved for our gold members. But in the contest, any of our members can play. It's called Extra Action Poker. It just got released this last month. Doesn't have a lot of distribution, but people love it on the site, so I think it'll be pretty popular.
So what is Extra Action Poker?
Extra Action.
So if you get a dealt ace, you get 12 additional hands with that ace in that hand, only with the ace, though. So you keep playing normal, and it comes in triple play and five play. If you don't get an ace, you still get to continue your hand, but if you get an ace or deuces, actually, then you get those extra 12 hands. Pretty volatile, pretty expensive game, but
so how do you pay for this?
Upside.
Is this 10 coins per line, 6 coins per line?
Actually, it's 5, so it ends up being, like on 3 play, it ends up being 30 coins.
Okay, so it's 5 additional per dealt hand. No,
yeah.
Is it per dealt hand or per hand?
Well, per hand.
So it's now a normally 5 coin per hand game now becomes a 10 coin per hand game.
So yeah, in effect, yep. Hmm. And it's pretty fun, and people have really given us good feedback, so we're running another contest with it. So go to the site tomorrow afternoon, and anybody can play as long as they're a member, and membership is free, and check it out. And
I actually
go ahead.
It sounds like the game does not require any strategy adjustments because you don't need to practice extra hard in order to be dealt an ace. So if you're dealt 3 aces, you get 12 hands of being dealt 3 aces.
Exactly.
If you're dealt 4 aces and a kicker, you get that times 12, times a triple play or 5 play or 10 play.
You get 4,000 on if you get 4 aces with a kicker, you get 4,000 per hand on the main 3 hands, and then an extra 1,000 for 4 of a kind on the other 12 hands. So what's that? About 27,000 coins.
About. That would be on triple-double bonus.
Yep.
But does it come in jacks or better and double-double? Or
yep, it comes in 12 families. So, I don't have them right here, but
you know. 12. You know, the best part of this now is if people ask me where the action is, I can tell them where the extra action is.
The extra action is. It's on videopoker.com.
Exactly.
That was a fun little social experiment I used to do when I was younger and bored, is I would sit down at a bar and I would lean over and say to the bartender, "Hey, man, you know, where's the action?" And then when he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I would never answer. I'd just go, you know, the action.
All right.
And see where it took us.
This is his commercial, Frank. Let's let him go with it. All right. So, Extra Action Poker. So, what else we got?
So you can go and sign up. And if people, a little special offer for your listeners, if they sign up within the next 24 hours, and signing up on the site is free, I'll send them a free videopoker.com T-shirt. They're really nice T-shirts.
Uh huh.
All you have to do is sign up, and then which takes about 30 seconds, and it's free. And then send an email to comments@videopoker.com.
Okay.
Include your mailing address and your shirt size, and we'll ship you off a shirt free of charge.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's a fun little promotion we got going, so take advantage of that, all of you listeners out there who aren't members yet. And you know, like I said, you'll be able to play this new game, which is, I think, a real fun game. So
are there prices for the game as well?
Or is this just... for the contest, we have about $1,500 in prizes, and again, no charge to play, but the winner gets a $500 Visa gift card, and then we have gift cards for runners-up, and we have some bonus prizes for the people who get the most extra action hands and stuff like that.
Presumably, so, you got to be dealt four aces and a kicker to qualify for the big prize.
Probably that's going to happen. You know, we typically have those kind of hands because people play so much because there's nothing at stake.
That's pretty cool, though, that you can win money in a free video poker.
It is.
Yeah, it's free and you can win money. So,
wow.
Good.
Check it out.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. We're going to talk to you next month, Greg. Thank you very much for being here.
Okay, guys.
All right. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. So that's Greg Brown from videopoker.com.
Always a pleasure to have him on.
It is. We have our next guest on the air. That's Michael Shackelford. He bills himself as the Wizard of Odds, which is highly appropriate considering the number of gaming subjects he handles mathematically on his Wizard of Odds website. Occasionally, he mentions my name on his website, and he calls me up and asks me questions about video poker. But on actual fact, I use his website as a reference all the time. And if I need to do it for video poker subjects, my guess is you do too. He is our first repeat guest on Gambling with an Edge. He was here on our debut program back in February. And he's back. He barely beats Stanford Wong as our first repeat guest. Stanford is going to be here next week. So one of the things Mike talked about on his first show was Super Bowl props. So we're going to be talking about that. It's the second part of our interview with Michael. But first, we're going to talk about a offshore website who owed some video poker player $46,000 and was kind of snarky about not paying him unless he went to Costa Rica and took a lie detector test, which is kind of an unusual request. So we're going to talk about that. Michael Shackelford, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Well, thanks for having me back, and I'm honored to be the first repeat guest.
As of the next 6 days, the first and only.
And I've actually interviewed him when I guest hosted that other show. So this will be the third time I've interviewed him. Yeah.
Well, my guess is it's going to be a four-peat before too long.
You know, I said something on that first interview that it bears restating. I asked my professional gambling friends what websites they use. And a lot of them used a lot of the different sites, but the only one that they all used was Wizard of Odds. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you for saying so.
So what happened with Easy Street Sports?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but a player was playing video poker there, and he hit four royals within so many hands and just went on a tear and won, as you said, I believe, $46,000. And he was evidently playing very fast. He admits this. And the casino examined his play, and they decided to not pay him because they thought he was using a bot because he played so fast, and they thought it was statistically impossible to hit four royals in the number of hands that he played. And I don't remember off the top of my head how many they were, but it was not terribly unlikely. It was on the order of like a 1 in 100 chance. Mm-hmm. Basically, it looked to me just like ordinary good luck, and it wasn't even that extraordinary good luck.
You know, it's funny that you should say that because I chimed in on a thread about, you know, unlikely things that had happened to people on videopoker.com just a few days ago, and mentioned basically the most unlikely thing that had ever happened to me, and got exactly the same reaction, is people did not believe that it was possible. And I thought that was very strange, you know, because for me it was just, I mean, I know it happened. It's my past, you know.
Okay, let's get off of you and back on Mike. Can we, Frank? Good. So they didn't pay him. What happened then?
Okay, well, to remark on something Frank said, to the layman, what they think is something that is just extraordinarily unlikely actually usually is not. You know, I hear stories all the time of, you know, the casino must be cheating in blackjack because I played 100 hands and I never once got a blackjack. And sure, that's unlikely, but it doesn't nearly rise to the level of making an accusation of cheating. It's just, you know, like I've said before.
That's five cycles.
Yes? Sorry to interrupt you.
That's five cycles. And it happens in video poker all the time.
All the time.
So exactly. So, you know, as I often say, gambling over a session of hands is like throwing a dart at a bell curve. And, you know, sometimes it lands in the left side, and you think it's way, way, way over in the left side, but it's really not that bad. And, yes, as you mentioned before, the casino said, before we even consider paying you, you have to come to Costa Rica and meet with us and take a lie detector test. And the player, you know, felt it was unsafe to go to Costa Rica and face these guys, and who knows what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So he chose not to do that. And as you know, I put forward on my website that I'm happy to try to help work this out, and you graciously volunteered to help in that too. And
uh-huh.
I said I would be happy to try to find a lie detector, a person who does these tests here in Vegas, but the casino never accepted my offer to try to help. So the way it stands is the casino is just not budging from their position, and they are on my blacklist of casinos you should avoid playing.
Yeah, yes. And probably rightfully so. When Bob first mentioned this to me, Michael, I actually took the casino side. I said, well, is it in their rules that you're not supposed to use a bot? And if it is, and they think he did, then that's perfectly reasonable. However, as a result, actually, of what happened to me this week, I think I've reversed my opinion, because now suddenly people are doubting me for something that actually happened, and I can see it from the other point of view. So if we'd had this interview 1 week ago, I think I would have taken the casino's side. But now I think you're absolutely right to blacklist him.
Well, yeah, and you know, maybe he did use a bot, but his...
Probably he used a bot.
Yeah, but his play of speed was... it was like a little over 1,000 hands per hour, which is attainable by very skilled video poker players.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So, you know, there is definitely a reasonable doubt that, you know, that he won this money legitimately. And, you know, and I think that if, you know, he should be given every benefit of the doubt, and the casino should have to prove that he either used a bot or his winnings were just so astronomical that he must have been cheating so far. And they did not satisfy either test, in my opinion.
1,000 hands an hour doesn't actually sound fast to me.
Yeah, Bill, you guys could speak to that better than me, but yeah, I think he was somewhere between 1,000 and 1,100.
Right, so it's very attainable. Playing perfectly for that long, it was like 8 hours or something, is tough. Depends on if it was actually perfect or not.
And I don't even think that the casino is maintaining he played perfectly anymore. I think that they, you know, I think that the player just claims that he plays well. And if you're going to claim I played perfectly, certainly you must have records to prove this, in which case, show them to the public. Make your case. But they never released a transcript showing the cards.
I would think if he continues to play at other sites, he at least should change his programming on the bot to take breaks every now and then, and make it a variable speed. So some hours he plays 1,100, and some hours he plays 700.
If it was really a bot, I mean, what they're claiming is completely doable.
And the good bots do that, is they take breaks, and the speed is not always the same. You know, but on somewhat of a different topic, you know, I think that it's a bad sign if a casino says we don't allow bots. Because I think the player should think, well, how do they know? And they could, you know, say that I'm using a bot as a frivolous excuse to deny me winnings that are totally legitimate. And I think a legitimate casino should allow bots, except in live poker.
Hmm. I wish I'd had a bot my whole career.
<Me too.
laughs> I would have actually had a social life.
Okay, yeah, just program that bot to drive out to Jerry's Nugget and hop on the machine and then go over to the Hilton and then go over to... That's a very highly trained bot.
Yes.
All right.
How come you use the Poisson distribution to calculate the probability on his royals instead of binomial theorem?
Because the Poisson is perfectly appropriate as an estimator in this situation, it gives you almost the same answer as the binomial. The binomial is, of course, exactly right, but the Poisson is not perfect. It's an estimate, and it's accurate to within three decimal places, if I'm not mistaken, in this case.
Yeah, I did the same number. I checked your numbers using the binomial, and they were very, very close.
I'd actually have later. I'm going to email you because I'd like to find out how unlikely the unlikely thing that happened to me was. But I'll cover that off the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me know, and I'll make an Ask the Wizard question out of it.
I would appreciate that.
Good. Now, on your first show, we talked a little bit about Super Bowl props.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk some more about that. I'm assuming there is going to be a Super Bowl at the end of this NFL season. Although I don't know what the odds are on that.
Neither do I.
All right. So we talked about in the first time coming up with a number for the team that scores first wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say there was a number on the team that scores last wins the game. And
mm-hmm.
so that's going to be a similar number, but it may or may not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, assuming you calculated it last year,
mm-hmm.
will you use the same number this coming year or the next Super Bowl, if it's however many years that's down the road, as you did last year? And if not, why not?
The answer is no. And the answer is that the point spread and the total play a significant part in a lot of props. For example, will this first score be a touchdown? The total has a great deal of effect on that. The greater the total, the greater the probability that the first score will be a touchdown, because the number of field goals in a game tends to be pretty constant at around three, but the number of touchdowns is very correlated to the total. So next year I'm going to completely redo everything. I'll certainly at least put in the spread and the total for whatever game is in front of me, and I should add all the games from last season into my database.
So your database goes back 10 or so years of...
Yes, it goes back through the 2000 season.
Wow, 11 years. So that's a lot of data.
And furthermore, I have to enter it all myself. I've found no place where I can buy it, because for a prop like will the first score be a touchdown, I don't know of anyone who would sell that information off the shelf. At MrNFL.com, you can get quarterly box scores, but what if one quarter a team scores 6 points? You don't know if it's two field goals or a touchdown with a missed extra point.
Or three safeties.
Now,
good chance it's not three safeties. All right. So there's a lot of bets, such as will there be a safety, or will there be a two-point conversion, or will there be something that happens pretty rarely.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you bet the nose on that, it can be a smart bet, but you might have to bet $1,000 to win 100, or $800 to win 100, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of players are just real squeamish putting up so much money to win so little. So
mm-hmm.
for this reason, the players who are willing to do that are frequently getting a good bet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. The sharp money is always on the no on those bets. For example, the chances, the probability of a safety in any given game is about 5%. So you should be laying about 19-1 as a fair bet on that. But you're only going to have to lay probably 8-1 to 10-1. So on a percentage basis, it's a great bet. But on an emotional basis, yes, it's tough that you have to risk a lot to win a little. And I would rather be the other way around. But that's just the way it is. Is the square public likes to bet on things to happen. They like to bet on a safety, on overtime, on a 2-point conversion, on this, on that, over that, over that. So the good value is almost always on the nos and on the unders.
Hmm. Interesting.
But when it goes against you, like 2-point conversions or something,
uh-huh.
it can hurt. Now, last year I had, following your advice, was betting no on 2-point conversions. And damn it. I assumed that at minus 600 or something, that was an excellent bet, but didn't come in.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And the 2-point conversion in the last Super Bowl basically ruined my profit. It turned a win into a loss. In this particular game, I put the fair line at a 2-point conversion at minus 657, and we were laying like minus 500, minus 550, which is not the greatest of bets, but it was still worth making. In retrospect, and it's easy to say this, we overbet it, that was a heartbreaker. But, you know, it's gambling. You just got to take it and move on.
That's really interesting, the psychology, though, of people wanting to bet for things happening rather than against them. And I guess at least this isn't like craps, where if you bet on the don't come, everyone looks like you're this redheaded stepchild at the family reunion, right?
Yeah, but I think that it makes sense, you know, with human psychology is people, you know, want, I don't know how to express it, but, you know, they want to bet on a safety, and they want to cheer like nuts if there's a safety. And I'm told that 3 Super Bowls ago when there was a safety, there was the biggest crowd and the biggest eruption in the casino was when there was a safety scored. And I'm sure it was because all these squares had bet on the safety. And meanwhile, it's just the small number of people like me that bet the no.
Right. And, of course, if you bet on the no, there's no point in time where you get to be excited that it happened.
No, but you can be scared.
You have to just wait through the whole game. You don't know that you've won until the end of the game. And it's not as fun.
Interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, definitely it's a much more fun bet, betting on the yes.
That's true. And there could be so many of these right at the end of the game. Like, you don't want it to end on 3-point margin of victory, or you don't want it to be 2-point conversion, and you don't want it to be a safety, and you don't want a blah, 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 blah. And if all these things happen, you make up like a bandit.
But you know what? This goes with what I've been saying for a long time, is that gambling with an edge and having fun really are not supposed to be used in the same sentence, you know? I mean, all the plays that I've ever done in my career that were the most profitable were also the most boring.
Oh, absolutely. And all my prop bets are correlated to a low-scoring, boring game.
Hmm. But when you're watching them, do you have a feeling of being bored?
No.
I don't either.
No, when I have practically all my money tied up on the game, I am not bored.
Yeah, I tend to have a level of excitement that's quite big. So now props, Super Bowl props are not as profitable. Were not as profitable as last year as they were in years past. Is it because there's more sharp bettors out there, or the books are getting smarter, or the books are condensing, or why is that?
I think it's because there are more sharp bettors out there. For one thing, I even before the kickoff, I was not terribly confident last year because, number one, the point spread was 2.5, and small point spreads are bad for props because you're never going to get good value on something like which team will score first, because it's always going to be close to
50-50. Yeah.
And you know, you need – so it's, that one's just easy to analyze. It was Green Bay was slightly favored. So I had almost no bets like that. But you could just tell that there were just a lot of sharp bettors out there, because you just did not see any real juicy bets out there. And all the usual – tried and true ones, you just were not getting as much value as you used to. So, I don't know where all this competition came from, but it's definitely out there.
Yeah, I thought it was the loss of the sports books. Like the year before, the Palms would put out its own numbers.
That's another good point.
And that was a good place to bet.
Definitely bad.
And then now it's the same book as the South Point, even though they're both sponsors. As far as we're concerned, it's better if one casino has a line at 6.5 and one has a line at 7, then they're both marching in lockstep.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just for prop bettors, but for sports betting in general. In fact, I think that for gambling in general, consolidation is a really bad thing for the player.
When we had Michael Connick on the show, who wrote the book The Smart Money, I asked him if he knew what changed where they started allowing cell phones and sports books again. And he didn't actually know, because that happened after he ended his career. Could you answer that question? Well, why was it suddenly not okay, and then suddenly it was okay again?
I can only speculate that they just got tired of fighting it, because people were doing it all the time anyway and just texting in their study carols. And you know, cell phones can now just be these tiny things you hang on your ear. So much like the rule about, I mean, the casinos used to be really strict about no photography, but now with cell phone cameras, you know, it's everyone's doing it. I think that they just gave up the fight, basically.
Huh, interesting.
And furthermore,
We won one.
they didn't really have that much to fear from them anyway, because the messenger bettors are going to do their thing anyway. So you may as well just let them do it out openly.
So whether they did it inside the book or they took three steps outside the book and then did it, wouldn't matter,
I mean,
a lot.
They know who the messenger bettors are. So telling them you can't use the cell phones, you can just see them before they change the rule. They would just stand just barely outside the sports book with their cell phone or pager right in their hand. And you could often see, you know, all of them rushing up at the same time.
I'm sorry, forgive my ignorance. Messenger better? What is that?
That's the same thing as a beard. It's somebody who makes bets for others.
Oh, okay.
That was like Michael Connick in his book.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd call him a team player.
Sort of. A runner.
A runner is how they're usually referred to.
Okay, Michael, this was informative as usual. Information we're not getting anywhere else. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We were going to have you on again. You may be the first three-peat. Or four-peat, whatever Pete it is.
Well, I'm going to have to try to stay ahead of Stanford.
Oh, good. Good. So he wants to talk about one of each of his books. So you have to be on here often to stay ahead of him. But that's okay with us.
Well, I hope you will be tough on him about the dice setting.
Oh, good.
Anything else exciting going on?
Do you want to be on the same night as he is when he talks about dice betting? You can throw dice at each other from... I think that's good. All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
All right. Stay out of trouble.
He's one bright man.
He's an
actuary. He's actually an actuary, which is to be an actuary, you need to pass 8 or so tests of tricky math. He does. And he might be the best mathematician in gambling. I know IGT's guy, Chris Bruni, who figures out what each of the IGT games are worth. He and Michael have a great respect for each other, as they both recognize that the other one is really special.
The thing about Michael, though, is he's not just a good mathematician. He actually goes out and applies it, and he bets himself and he plays. The best math guy I ever knew was the fellow that we always called him Yaki. I won't say his whole name, but he's the one that did the about a year, 6 months to a year of work to figure out the return of video poker machines. This is back in the 80s. But he won't play. He did it as a mental exercise. And, I mean, you would never find him playing anything other than maybe a nickel or something ridiculous.
Different people have different theories.
So he was just as good at math, I think, as Michael Shackelford, but he didn't have the chutzpah, or whatever you want to call it.
Balls.
Yeah, okay, that works.
All right. I think we have, we owe our listeners an apology concerning the progressive at the M. We told them last week that we're going to send out, we're going to create strategies and we're going to post it somewhere. And the first one we were going to post is on Deuces Wild. And it was going to be posted today and it wasn't. So we owe them an apology. You want to apologize or should I?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to be the one that apologizes because it was me dropping the ball. I had done a very accurate progressive strategy for 4, 13, 16 deuces, which is what we called them because we always put the lower number first. But okay. Anyway, and I did this years ago. There used to be these progressives out at the Rainbow Club, you know, in Henderson?
Yep.
And they were
on Water Street.
Right. And they had 3.5% meter rise, though it was split oddly. It was like 1% on the Dirty Royal, 1% on the Deuces, and 1.5% on the Royal or something like that. But it still got up. Mm-hmm. So we did a strategy for it, and I had it in the box, ready to go. All I had to do is go home, and email it to you. I couldn't find it. Find it anywhere. So
So we got to create one.
Yeah, we got to create one, and that is entirely my fault. I thought I had it pre-generated. I didn't. And it's a shame to have to redo something you've already done. So I ended up wasting more time looking for it than what it would have actually taken me to just do another one, so it's a double error on my part.
And what's more, probably the best one to do
would be Joker.
Yeah, it was probably the Joker Wild, simply because they seeded the two Joker games. Well, it's the 15-7-5 game. But one for dollar, one for quarter, at a double royal. So a double royal is a tick under 99%. And so as it goes up, it's going to be, and include the slot club, it's going to be playable rather quickly.
Yes, very quickly.
And so now video poker for winners happens to the Joker Wild strategy creation module was never finished.
Okay.
So we have hand-created strategies for the Joker Wild games that are in there, but putting in a new Joker Wild pay schedule does not create a strategy. So you can use Wolf, you can use OpVP.
Well, the beta version, not too many people have it yet. I do have it, and I could go ahead and generate one.
Okay, so we need to do create that. Mm-hmm. at say what, 12,000? What level do we want to create it at?
Well, we discussed this before. I think the best thing to do would be to create it at the lowest possible number that it's going to be in the player's favor. But that is hard to tell with the triple points, double points, single points.
I'd rather pick a number. So whether it's
Pick a number?
10,000, 12,000.
10,000.
10,000?
10,000.
So 10,000 coins, so that's 2,500 if you're a quarter player.
Oh, I did some work on the Joker.
Uh-huh.
And this is really, really weird. But you know how there's the dynamic of as the progressive gets higher by playing for the high progressive number, you actually slightly increase the hold for the casino?
Right.
But while
you're playing more aggressively for the Royal.
Yeah, you get more jackpots quicker, so it's better from your point of view, but it increases the... Well, on Joker, that doesn't happen. On Joker, there is less than, like, 0.03% difference between playing a reset strategy and a progressive strategy.
Really?
Really, and I was as shocked to find that out as you. So, of all the games, the Joker is actually the best progressive, technically.
Okay, but it's still, the Joker is going to be a tough game, simply because sometimes on Joker Wild you hold a Joker 6 or a Joker 8, and that part of the strategy is not going to be changed by the progressive.
No, it isn't. But of course, people not playing it accurately is the only way the M's making any money on this. So, because they're afraid of this thing, aren't they? That's why they didn't seed it very high.
Right. The M is afraid of it, and players are afraid of it. And so Frank and I are telling both sides, go, 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 go. This is great. This is great.
I think it's funny that the players and the listeners are like, oh, we don't want to play this. Meanwhile, the M's like, oh, my God, what have we done? Right.
Oh, well, so...
I don't know if it makes you all feel better out there in listener land, but the M is as terrified of this thing as you are, because with everything added in, if people play it and they don't make mistakes, they're not making a penny on it. So think about that for a second.
Let me talk about some of our guests that will be coming up. Next week is going to be Stanford Wong. And what we're talking about with Stanford Wong is his book called Casino Tournament Strategy. Casino tournaments in and of themselves are a way to be a professional gambler. People know you can do it playing video poker. They know you can do it playing blackjack. They know you can do it betting on sports or live poker. It's not commonly known that you can do it playing tournaments. So there are some, there's a lot of common tournament strategies. Now, video poker strategy, tournament strategy, is different than regular video poker. And the same would be true in blackjack strategy or craps or roulette. The crap strategy is extremely difficult. And good craps tournament players are just a license to print money. So there are a number of casinos up and down the strip who regularly have $100,000 tournaments, $250,000 tournaments, and the same players go in and they play these. So Stanford Wong's book is basic is required reading. There are other books as well, but his is required reading. And the way Wong did this is he had some kids, some young men at the time, go out and play these tournaments, and then they'd go out, and then they'd come back, and they'd talk about what they did. Now, one of these kids you all heard about, because now his name is Anthony Curtis, and he kind of did okay with himself. Another one you may not have heard of, and his name is Blair Rodman. We're going to meet Blair Rodman on July 9th. He's going to be a guest here. He's a poker player. He has written a book called Kill Phil, where Phil means Phil Hellmuth or Phil Locke or Phil Gordon or any other professional poker player named Phil. So this is a strategy that a not-so-competent Texas Hold'em player can use against the really competent players to put and kind of even up the odds a little bit. So that's the Kill Phil.
I read that, by the way. For the purpose of playing in a tournament, I had one day to learn it, and I read the book and I did the tournament, and I think I got to like seventh place or something. I didn't get in the money, but that was my only experience with playing poker. Was reading that book.
Good. And so he's willing to be on before that, except the World Series of Poker is happening, and he doesn't know which night of the week, which Thursday night he's going to, you know, get on. And these tournaments, you keep playing as long as until you lose, and you don't know if you're going to lose on Tuesday or lose on Wednesday or lose on Thursday. So he's going to have to wait till after it. We also have I. Nelson Rose is going to come back and pay us a visit in the middle of June, June 16th.
Okay.
He was on a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. It's our highest-rated show so far.
Mm-hmm.
People, so he's going to be on June 16th. The week before that is an author that Frank and I have different points of view about. Arnold Snyder, he is Blackjack Hall of Fame member, one of the originals. He ranks with Stanford Wong in terms of one of the blackjack gurus. However, recently, he's been taking on a new hobby. His latest book is called Topless Vegas, which discusses the topless and bottomless bars and pools and blah, blah, blah in Vegas. Now, this is sort of up Frank's alley because he has considerable experience in this area.
I do have considerable experience, but let's be fair. I stopped going about 10 years ago. This was a phase of my youth. But yes, I do have experience.
Okay, good. So, and I stopped going 35 years ago. So, but I assume, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what did Johnny Carson say? You seen one, seen them both? Or okay.
I treated him as a learning experience, and once I'd learned everything I needed to learn, I didn't continue going to school.
All right, so that was that. Okay, so that's who we're having coming up. Bill Zender will be on in the next month. He has written a book called Casinoology and Casinoology 2. His books are for the casino managers as to how to take money off of us.
Ooh.
And so when we learn these things as to where they're coming from, it helps us better go to battle. It's kind of like know your enemy in the battle.
You know, I think the worst thing about getting this radio show with you, Bob, is coming into this, I, you know, having managed one of the largest progressive teams, slot teams in Vegas ever, felt pretty confident about my knowledge. Since I have done this show with you, I just feel out of my depth. I mean, we had get like this book on casino tournament strategy with Stanford Wong.
Yes.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Oh, good.
How do you be a professional gambler for 23 years and suddenly find out you know nothing? This is not fair to me. Anyway,
well,
no.
Well, good. So are you listening to the show in addition to emceeing it?
I've gone home a couple times now to shows that were about things I did not know about and re-listened to the show and taken notes.
Good.
On our own show, which I think is... So I'm actually learning a lot doing this show
good.
With you.
I think listening to us... Michael Shackelford's comments earlier today, it bears going back and listening to that as well.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, because a lot of what he was talking about I had no idea about,
yeah,
which
well.
Is why I was so silent. Whatever we want. Great. Weird thing happened to me a few weeks ago on BP Free, and I actually ended up consulting with a psychologist about it to ask her, you know, what causes this?
Okay.
And I'd like to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
People will post something.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily me. Then people will comment on what they think the person that posted something meant. And then other people will comment on what they think they meant or what they think the person that was talking about what they meant. And it ends up starting this long train. But what no one does is go back and ask the original poster, hey, what did you mean? Now, what my psychologist said is that by asking a question, it's sort of like admitting that you don't know something. And that hurts the ego, whereas by adding to a comment that's already been made, it boosts people's ego.
Uh-huh.
But I just think it's really odd to actually argue over conjecture about conjecture as opposed to going back to the original source and saying, what did you mean? Why do you think this happens?
I don't know, but what I want to ask you, Frank, is what do you mean by bringing this subject up?
Huh?
Well, I was just trying.
Well, oh, very funny.
Good. So what do you mean?
You're supposed to be the straight man. I'm supposed to be the comedian. No,
there
anyway.
People like to pretend like they're experts. They like to say something whether they know something or not. So I basically have stopped posting on VP Free. I was a magnet for negative criticism. There were people who just enjoyed jumping on the fire whenever I would post, so I just stopped posting.
And did anyone, if you made some comment and they thought you meant something ill by it, did anyone ever ask you, hey, is this what you meant?
Oh, occasionally.
Occasionally? To me, it's never happened once.
What did you mean?
No one's ever asked. They've spent, 30 posts discussing what they think I meant, but never actually asked me what I meant. I just think it's very peculiar.
All right.
Well, that's 5 seconds to the end of the show. Hope you enjoy the close, folks. We'll see you next week.
Go out and hit some royal flushes.
Hi, folks. Look, Frank just stepped out to let me record this close he wrote. Seems to be in Latin. Semper ubi sububi in caput tuum. I think that's something about putting underwear on your head. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of half the things he has me saying. Then there's a quote from the Code of Hammurabi, but it appears he's left it in Akkadian cuneiform. I don't want to ruin Frank's faith in me, but seriously, I'm just a radio voice personality. He seems to think I can do anything. What's it going to be next week? Zulu war chants? Oh, I'm safe. They don't have a written language. One week he's got me summoning forgotten gods, the next week I'm playing a priest. And while we're at it, Quercus Maximus Bambergacioni? Is that even a real tree? And what's with this creepy music? I don't think he's right in the head. Uh-oh, he's coming back. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website videopoker.com. Thanks for listening, and tune in next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity.
Super as always, John. Hey, any trouble with the Latin?
No, not really.
Well, I never doubted you. Oh, guess what? Next week's close is going to be in Zulu. Don't worry, though. I've written it out phonetically in Cyrillic. I'm sure you can handle it. You can do anything. Speaking of which, I have a rash I'd like you to take a quick look at.
Yeah, sure. Where is it? Are you tired of dishonest air conditioning and heating companies? Subtelo Air prides itself on honesty and integrity. With over 40 years of experience in the Las Vegas Valley, we service all brands of equipment. Call Subtelo Air at 702-321-1073. We offer senior and military discounts on any repairs. Plus, summer's coming. Better check on that AC now. Call Subtelo Air at 702-321-1073. We want you to be comfortable this summer. Subtelo Air Conditioning and Heating, 702-321-1073.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
West Side.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
I need somebody,
help,
not just anybody,
help,
you know I need someone,
help.
Help is what we're here for. I'm Frank Napoli. Join us on the Frank Napoli Real Estate Hotline with real estate, law, and mortgage information. Be current on what's happening in real estate today. Learn how to protect yourself in the current market. Call in with questions. We have the answers, Monday through Friday, 11 to 12. Be there.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
A learning disability means you're finished, right? Wrong. Introducing the Never Give Up Show, brought to you by the Never Give Up Foundation, hosted by Matthew Cox. The Never Give Up Show is about letting go of your fears and breaking the shackles and stigma associated with learning disabilities. And life coach Matt ought to know, he himself was diagnosed with a learning disability. Now he's a motivational speaker with an advanced degree. This is powerful radio. The Never Give Up Show, Tuesday afternoon at 4.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Hey, Las Vegas, join me, Sean Dugan, and me, Vegas Pete Mattina, Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Middle Class Now Show, covering all subjects middle class, local, national, and the globe. So if you're a middle class working stiff like we are, and you're sick and tired of what's going on around you, and you want your voice heard, then we look forward to hearing from you, Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. on KLAV, the talk of Las Vegas.
We're the home of the honest mechanics. The choice is a simple one. For service and second to none, call Honest One.
Hey, I'm Rich Margot.
And I'm Mark McIver, and we are the Car Guys.
We are Las Vegas' Honest One Auto Care franchisees, and we'll be hosting a one-hour weekly automotive-related talk show, The Car Guys. We'll be discussing service and repairs of vehicles and auto-related news and issues that will have a direct effect on your money when it comes to your vehicle.
We want you to call in and ask us questions related to problems or concerns about your car and truck, and we'll answer them on air. Or if you have any questions about products or services, we'll answer those as well.
So tune in Wednesdays at 2 p.m. every week and get informed and answers with the Car Guys on AM 1230.
We're the home of the honest mechanics, the service second to none. When it's time to get the job done, call Honest One.
Hey, where is Ed Coco?
Where is Ed Coco? He's right here. It's Ed Coco Live. Ed Coco Live. Every fourth Thursday of the month at 3 p.m. Prime time. Prime time. Ed Coco is talking Vegas. Ed Coco is Vegas. It's Ed Coco Live on the fourth Thursday of every month at 3 p.m.
And with me, the Commander, every Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, with Nights Over Las Vegas.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving.
Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on through, bring on through, bring on through, bring on through.
Love us on radio.